Are there any individuals that you purposely avoid and try not to be around? I realize that's sort of a strange question to begin the Let the Bible Speak program this morning, but it is a question that sets up our study and gets us to think about a group of people in the New Testament that many people wanted to avoid. And yet, they're the very ones that exhibit the right kind of faith in God that we need to have today. Good morning, friends. I'm Chris Reeves, host of the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Is there anyone that you avoid because you don't like the way they look, or you don't like the way they talk, or they might smell, or they might be in a part of town that you don't want to be in? You try to avoid them. You try to walk around them. Certain outcasts, certain rejects, and I use that term not that I believe that they are that way, but that's how the world describes them. Outcast, rejects, no goods. Is there anyone like that that you avoid, that I avoid? Well, I hope not, but that actually is the case. The homeless person, the drug addict, the prostitute, the drunk, the person who is down and out, the drifter. And there is a tendency in us to walk around them, to stay away from them. We find that in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, the priest and the Levite, two men who claim to be religious and God-fearers, they walk around the one that had been robbed and beaten. They just walked on the other side. But it was the Good Samaritan who stopped, and we'll talk about him in a later lesson. But is there someone that you avoid that I avoid? Well, just like we have that today, that was going on in New Testament times, and I want to talk about a group of individuals whom the Jews in particular wanted to avoid, and they're called the Samaritans from Samaria. The Samaritans were a mixed breed of Jews and Gentiles from the Assyrian captivity who practiced a mixed religion. You can read about them and their origin in 2 Kings chapter 17, when the king of Assyria imported individuals from his area down into the northern part of Palestine after he had taken the Israelites away into Assyrian captivity in 722 BC. He imports men to come down in there, and any Jews that were left in the area intermarry and breed with these men from Assyria, and they became known as the Samaritans. Well, as a result, many years later in the New Testament times, the Jews avoided them. And I want to talk about these individuals today, and Lord willing, in our program next week. Individuals whom many people would avoid, and yet they're the very ones that are held forth by Jesus and others as not only commendable, but the very people that we need to be. And so I ask you this morning, are you a Samaritan? Not in the literal sense, but are you acting like these individuals? And so let's take a look at them. And in the New Testament, there are five examples of these individuals, and they teach us some very important lessons for us today in our modern world. When we let the Bible speak, one of our objectives is to go back and look at individuals in the Bible and see what we can learn from them even 2,000 years later. And so we're going to look at two of them this morning. Both of these examples are found in the same chapter of John chapter 4, if you'd like to turn over there. John chapter 4. We're going to look at the Samaritan woman at the well, and then we're going to look at some of her neighbors, some other Samaritans who came to Jesus. And then Like I said, Lord willing, we'll take a look at these other individuals next Saturday morning. So in John chapter 4, we want to read about these individuals. Now, these Samaritans were considered outcast and rejects by the Jews, and they were avoided. They were called names. In fact, on one occasion in John chapter 8, when some Jews did not like Jesus, in John chapter 8 and verse 48, they said, "Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Well, this was just name calling, and you find it going on even today. When you don't like your opponent, you just call them names. You badmouth them. You put them down. And that's what they were doing with Jesus. But notice what they said. Not only did he have a demon, but they called him a Samaritan. Well, in that day, that was a very derogatory term. It'd be like calling somebody a dog. Well, they were considered by the Jews as this low-life, outcast reject. Well, let's look at these individuals that the Jews snubbed and called names, and let's see, and we will see, that they are the very type of people we need to be. The first one that I want to talk about in John chapter 4, when Jesus was passing through Samaria, and he stopped, he was thirsty, showing his humanity, and he wanted to drink from this well at Sychar. And he begins to strike up this conversation with this Samaritan woman. And let's learn this morning some lessons from her. So the two examples that I want to look at this morning, the first one is a truth-seeking Samaritan. And the second one is a group of convinced Samaritans. And so the lesson for you and I this morning, friends, is this. Are you a truth seeker? And then number two, when that truth is presented to you, are you convinced of that? We live in a world today where people don't want truth. Everybody talks about truth, politicians and others. They talk about finding truth and seeking truth and speaking truth. And we hear that all the time. It's just a slogan. It's just a catchphrase. Especially when we're talking about our relationship with God. Are we interested in the truth of God's word found in the scriptures? John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth," Jesus said, speaking of his Father's word. Are we truth seekers? Do we have our Bible open? Do we have our minds open? Do we have our schedules open? Or are we closed-minded? Or, even worse, in my opinion, are we relativistic and pluralistic, where there is no absolute truth? Everybody's truth is different. We live in that kind of a world today. So we need to be a truth-seeking person. So let's learn from this so-called outcast and reject what we can learn today and model her life and be a truth seeker. And so Jesus was wanting to go to Galilee, and he passed through Samaria. And in verse 5 of John chapter 4, he comes to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or around noon. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a Samaritan?" And then John puts in sort of like a parenthetical comment, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, obviously that wasn't Jesus' attitude. He is going to have a close dealing, if you will, with her, a close conversation, and he wants to help her spiritually out of her life get out of her life, her sinful life, her lost life, and come to the Christ. But that parenthetical comment is John's way of describing a general attitude among the Jews of his day, and it started, like I said, back in 2 Kings 17, some 700 plus years earlier. It was a long-standing animosity of Jews against Samaritans. But Jesus is not going to act like his fellow Jew. He's going to be different. Jesus stood out. He was different. So verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given him living water." So he's going to turn the conversation from a physical water to living or spiritual water, symbolic of the spiritual blessings that can flow in us and through us and out of us, and like water. And Jesus wants to turn the conversation into the spiritual, and that's a great lesson that we need to learn even today. We've got to get off the physical only, friends. Life is not just about the physical only. We've got to get on to thinking about our relationship with God, and that's what he's wanting to do here. So in verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus was in fact greater. He is the divine Son of God. Jesus answered and said, "Everyone that drinketh of this water," physical water, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." Eternal life. Now we're talking about having a right relationship with God, where now, and John speaks of eternal life now, and then it goes into the life to come in heaven, when sins are forgiven now, and eternity in heaven later, but it's going to come by what I give you. And so in effect, he answered that question, yes, I am greater than Jacob because I am someone who can give you eternal life. And we need to be thinking, friends, not just about the physical, job, money, health, food, sleep. We need to be thinking, is my life right with God? And if the answer is no, I need to be the truth seeker like this woman and make the change. Verse 15, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come all the way here to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come here." Now Jesus is going to begin to see if this woman is interested in eternal life. Is she interested in truth? And he's going to set up a couple of things here with regard to her personal life, her marriage and her religion. And he's going to question that. He's going to analyze that. He's going to point out that she's not right. Now, here is the very important point, friends. Listen carefully. She was not turned off by this. She didn't get upset at this. She didn't walk away in a huff. She didn't get all mad. She didn't get stirred into a frenzy. Oh, this man is questioning my marriage and he's questioning my religion. So much today is going on where you cannot present the truth to many people today. They just won't hear it and they get all mad and frustrated, and some of them even turn violent. But this woman, whom the Jews would say, hey, have nothing to do with her, she's the premium example of being willing to hear truth and seek it and come to terms with it and accept it. So let's see what Jesus does. Jesus says, "Go call your husband." Verse 17, "The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou sayest well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou hast now is not thy husband. This you have well said." The one that she was with now, she was not supposed to be with, not truly. He was not truly her husband. Well, wait a minute. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to be with this man. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm just going to walk away and I'm not going to talk with you again. You're a troublemaker and you're trying to push your views on me. Did she respond that way? No. No, she didn't. Now look at verse 20. She brings up her worship, and then Jesus questions that. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, the woman is saying. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And when you're at Sychar in Samaria, not far away in the distance, you can see Mount Gerizim. On top of that mountain, the Samaritans had a synagogue at this time. That's where they worshiped. They would not worship in Jerusalem. And so they were religious, but it wasn't the true worship that God wanted for the Jews at this time. That was to be in the temple at Jerusalem under the law of Moses. And the Samaritans did not want to follow that. And so they were religious, but it was not the right religion. Just like she was married, but it wasn't the right marriage. And so Jesus is going to question that. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. Look at this, believe me. This woman has to be a truth seeker to believe the truth and the words that Jesus is speaking. I can give you eternal life. Number two, the one you now have is not your husband. I'm about to present to you a third truth, but you have to believe me. And that's what we're learning from this woman, that she is a truth seeker. Number three, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem you shall worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. When he said, you worship that which you know not, he is saying their Samaritan religion, which was not authorized by God, completely separate temple, completely separate place, acts of worship, and so forth, that is not of God. Salvation is of the Jews. It's not in this Samaritan religion on Mount Gerizim. It's under the law of Moses. And from the Jews, the Christ would come. But the hour cometh, look at this, and now is, even right now, as you and I are talking, Jesus says, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. The implication is, lady, you are not properly worshiping the Father. You need to, even right now, worship in spirit and in truth. In truth. What is reality? What God wants now? God is spirit, and they that worship him must, it's not a suggestion, it's not an opinion, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the same is true today, and the way that's accomplished is through the New Testament church, becoming a New Testament Christian and worshiping in a New Testament church. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, he that is called Christ. When he cometh, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus saith unto her, now here's the next truth. He had already said, I will give you eternal life. She had to believe that truth. Number two, the man that you have is not your husband. You got to believe that truth. Number three, you worship that which you know not, and you need to start worshiping in spirit and in truth. And number four, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am, literally am. I am the Christ. Are you willing to accept that truth? Jesus is saying. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no man said, why seekest thou, or why speakest thou with her? So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the people, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Can this be the Christ? Now we're going to talk about those people that she talked to in just a minute. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. This is a truth seeker. This is a truth acceptor. And we need to be like this. The woman at the well was confused and living the wrong way, but she was a truth-seeking Samaritan. She was confused about many things. First of all, her social interaction. "You're not supposed to be talking to me," she said. She was confused about that. She was confused about water. "Do I need physical water only in life?" Jesus said, "No, you need the living water." She was confused about her marriage. She was confused about her worship. She had a question about the messianic identity. Is this the Christ? But she's willing to accept the truths of Jesus. Friends, in a postmodern world of relativism and pluralism, which denies truth, are you going to be a truth seeker? Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." John 8:32, Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." In Acts 8:26, when the Ethiopian eunuch is riding along the way reading from the book of Isaiah and Philip preaches Jesus to him, he commanded the chariot to stand still. He wanted to be baptized. "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's a truth seeker. And we need to be like that. This is a woman who's considered an outcast and a no good and a reject, but she's the very one that we need to be like. John, 2 John, verse 1. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all they that know the truth." You can know the truth. And we need to be like that in an age today. Not just a talking point, but actually get our Bibles open and know it and believe it and obey it. Now this woman goes back into her community and begins to talk with these fellow citizens of hers. In the meantime, look at verse 30. They went out from the city and they were coming to him. And we'll get to them in a minute. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not." The disciples therefore said one to another, "Hath any man brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said unto him, "My meat, what sustains me," he's talking now figuratively and symbolically, "what sustains me like food does, is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." And we need to be like that. That should be our driving force and sustaining power in life. "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." And he's talking about the people that are coming from this community of Sychar. Look up. "They are white already unto harvest." These people are like a harvest. They are people who need to be harvested for the Lord. They need to be taught the truth and brought to the Lord. "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal." That gets back to what Jesus promised the woman earlier. That's what Jesus was about, preaching truth to people so they could have life eternal. "He that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together." Both Jesus and the disciples working together to bring people to eternal life. "For herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherewith you have not labored. Others have labored, like John the Baptist and the Old Testament prophets and Jesus himself, and you are entered into their labor." You simply need to get to the people now and help them come to Christ. "And from that city," verse 39, "many of the Samaritans believed on him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things that ever I did.'" Now let's look at this second example of some Samaritans in the New Testament who were rejected and considered outcasts. These Samaritans who were brought to Jesus were convinced of the truth through eyewitness testimony. They listened to eyewitness testimony of the woman, and then they came and investigated Jesus himself, and they were convinced of the truth. So that would be, for example, if you were listening to me this morning, and I am speaking the truth from God's Word, the Let the Bible Speak program, Let the Truth Speak program. And I'm speaking the truth, I'm just reading the scriptures and speaking that to you without twisting it or distorting it in any way. And you accept that over the radio. You hear me and you accept that. Well, you need to act on that, friends. But it would be like you then opening up your Bible and you're reading and you're examining it yourself. I've been doing that lately with an individual once a week Bible study. He accepted some things I said at first. Now I'm just wanting him to read that in his own Bible. And that's what we do together each week. And so now they're going to come and listen to Jesus themselves. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans came unto him, Jesus, they besought him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now what happened during this 2 days? It was a great 2 days. What was it filled with? And many more believed because of his word. Notice that it doesn't take very long. It doesn't take weeks. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take decades. It doesn't take a whole lifetime to arrive at the truth. Yes, we're always growing and learning. But in 2 days, they came to know the Messiah. And they said, verse 42, they came to the woman and they said, "Now we believe, not because of thy speaking, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." Truth-seeking, convinced Samaritans. Friends, we live in an unbelieving world that the God of this world, the devil, is trying to blind the hearts and minds so that you won't see the truth. Don't fall prey to that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this world, speaking of the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. The devil doesn't want you to come to the words of Jesus. He doesn't want you to come to the light. He wants you to grope around in darkness. Don't fall prey to that. And so be like this woman. Be like these individuals. Open your Bible. Have an open Bible like the Bereans in Acts 17, 11, and 12. They examined the scriptures and they believed. John 20, verses 30 and 31. John wrote so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ. Friend, be a truth seeker. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. I'm not interested in slogans and talking points and this and that about truth. I'm interested, and I hope you are, in actual truth that is found in the Word of God. And the truth will help us to cut through all of the lies and the deceit and the darkness that is going on today. And we can live a life that is right with God. We can be on track. We can be on course. We can have a moral compass that directs us in the right way with the truth of God's Word. Come be a part of that. Thank you for being with us this morning and have a good day.